Between the Covers, a series designed around who and what can be done and achieved by patients, planning and working in a community of like-minded, successful people. This podcast series is for anyone looking at becoming a successful published author and those looking to understand the mind of a writer and the goals of a publisher. Proudly sponsored by Shoreline Publishing. Welcome and enjoy.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining me. My name is Bradley Shaw, and today on Between the Covers, I'm talking to the exceptional Steph Huddleston, who's a primary editor with Shoreline Publishing, but also a freelance writer, editor, and book reviewer of her own right. It's her passion to help connect readers and authors to one another through the power of words. And when she doesn't have her nose buried in a book, Steph enjoys traveling and exploring the great outdoors. She's worked as an editor and freelancer for years and brings a sense of knowing and understanding to her work and to your book's ultimate success. Hi, Steph. How are you today?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
You're most welcome. Thanks for joining me. So for everybody listening, give us a quick snapshot outside of what I just summarized about you and your journey so far in your editing career.
Yeah, sure. So I'm from Melbourne, Australia. And as you've mentioned, I'm a freelance writer and book reviewer. And that's where I started out before I transitioned to editing. When I discovered that I had a passion for it, and a few of my clients at the time encouraged me to pursue it. So that's kind of where I've come from, and I'm hoping to continue on in that direction.
Well, good. And from your start in editing, what have you found in your experience as the changes in the publishing industry for editors as well involved in the publishing industry?
Yes. So it's been interesting because I've been editing for a couple of years now and started editing book editing before the pandemic. It's been really interesting to see how the pandemic and COVID-19 has changed the publishing industry, as well as a lot of the social changes that we're seeing at the moment around, it feels like there's a shift perhaps towards more people who've discovered writing in the course of lockdowns and things. They've started writing more, but also the general shift towards self-publishing and there being a lot more options for people looking to share their writing with readers, as well as perhaps more accountability in the industry generally for editors and other publishing professionals about working with authors from diverse backgrounds. And it's been encouraging to see those changes coming out of different social events, including the pandemic.
Good. So what things do you consider are the elements most importantly in helping quality books get in the marketplace?
Yeah, so it's an interesting question. I think bringing a book to readers is definitely a team effort. There's a lot of people involved in the process, as you would know, Brad. I think in terms of bringing a quality book, it's definitely about a quality effort from everyone involved, whether that's the writer themselves, the editor, all the other, the designer of the book, publishers. I think it really takes a team effort and everyone putting in their best to make sure that things are of a high standard. But paired with that is also, I think, having a system in place, whether that's self-publishing and an author doing everything themselves, having to put those checks and balances in place of quality control, or a publishing house also has those checks and balances to make sure that a book that comes out is of a high standard. And as we've worked together, Brad, we've, you know, implemented things as we learn and discover things that aren't as good a quality as they could be. We then put something in place that's going to, you know, make it better in future or avoid particular problems that we discover along the way. So.
Absolutely. And it is a process too, because every book has its own uniqueness. So there's no actual standard, you know, motif of editing. You have to really adapt to the writing styles and the author as much as how that book quality can be created. And for that, just as a snapshot too, what is the fundamental process of editing a book to the best standards possible, like for you?
Yeah. So as you say, it varies from project to project, but generally as a process, it'll start with me receiving the book, whether that's from the publishing house like yourself or from the author directly. And then I'll spend some time going through the book. Generally, I'll do a number of passes or reading over the book a couple of times, looking for different things, whether it's a structural, looking at the structure of the book and making sure it all makes sense logically, and then doing like a copy edit and looking for things, and then a final proofread. So there's usually a number of steps in that process. It depends what type of editing we're doing on a particular book. But yeah, it's generally a lengthy process and detailed. So I think that's the overall process. And then once that portion of my job is done, in a sense, I'll then get to speak with the author and talk to them about the changes I'm recommending. And then it's their opportunity to revise and look over those suggestions. And then we often do it all again, depending on how many rounds of editing are included. So that, yeah, then we start to go the back and forth between me and the editor, but me and the author rather.
Yeah. So with that too, in that process, I mean, when a new author comes to you, what sort of things, what advice would you be giving them to consider for their first time edit and first time into publishing?
Yeah, so I think for an author who's never written a book before or never published, it depends a little bit, but generally I would advise that they do some things before bringing the book to an editor. And the main thing I would suggest is making sure it's been read by a couple of people before it gets to the editor, and particularly people who are going to give you honest feedback. Because as wonderful as it is to have friends and family read our work, often their feedback can be tinged with kindness, which, you know, as an editor, I like to be kind, but there's also the people who love us most don't want to hurt our feelings, and that can sometimes come at the expense of us receiving valuable feedback. So I'd always recommend to writers who are considering publication to make sure they've gotten some solid feedback before they get too far into the process, and they might find themselves in for a bit of a shock of how much work there is to do. So it's always good to do a bit of that groundwork before we get to publishing.
Yeah, no, that's true. And again, it's a thought too. Do you find, I think, that there's a less quality in some of the efforts for authors? They present books to you as an editor and expect a lot more input and work from an editor than what really should be? Or do you put it back on the author to do those, like make more efforts first? How do you address that when you get an author who's come to you with a second draft? And we all know that really it needs to have at least a 10 or 15 draft before it starts getting into the real nuts and bolts of it. So how do you address and how do you find dealing with those sort of submissions as well?
It can be really challenging because obviously it's a book like that the author cares a lot about. And as a writer myself, you know, it's really confronting showing your work to someone else. That's a trusting process. So I think, in terms of navigating what that looks like, usually I try and suggest to the author that in their revision process, they try and have more eyes on it. It really depends on what stage they come to me, because obviously if they've come to me through something like Shoreline, they tend to be further along in the process, and at that point you and I usually have a chat about what we need to recommend, and we're not afraid of recommending to authors that spend a bit longer time with a book, because I think it's a disservice to say to an author your book's ready to go out in the world when it's just it's not, and it could be better. But at the same time, around the expectations, I think unfortunately they're, you know, there's a lot of very good editors out there, but unfortunately there are some who promise perfection. And as much as editors have the skills and we have additional tools at our disposal to make a book good and as close to perfection as we get it, at the end of the day we're all human. And while we've got checks and balances to, you know, catch as many errors as we can before the book goes to print, it's just not possible to have a perfect book. You know, you could pick any book off a shelf and find a handful of errors. So it's just a part of that. Often I'll have a conversation when I meet with authors about the revisions and suggestions that I'm making to say, look, we're going to get the book as close as we all can to that line. But at the end of the day, it's not going to be perfect because that's just not something we're able to promise. So I always encourage them to try. We're all going to try as hard as we can, but that's really all we can promise.
Yeah. Oh, what, you know, you don't think 99.99% is, you know, close enough? So do you find too, like with editing clients that you deal with on your own outside Shoreline and independently, have you found that the budgets for authors also may affect the quality investments into some of the books and options? Because, you know, the editing process is generally a tiered structure for process, isn't it?
Yes. So I definitely think that sometimes there's a mismatch between the amount of work a book needs and therefore how much that work will cost versus how much budget an author has. Because, you know, self-publishing can get very expensive. And a lot of that is valid because of the quality of the work that's needing to be done. But unfortunately, what can happen is that if an author has a smaller budget, they might opt for something like proofreading, which might seem more affordable. But when the book actually needs a developmental edit instead, even if all of the commas are in the right place, that book is not going to be of a high quality if that developmental editing hasn't taken place. So when it comes to working with authors, I often try and we work to their budget in terms of getting them what is going to be most valuable for that amount of money. Whether that's looking at book coaching and whether they need to do some of that line editing themselves and perhaps looking at doing proofreading more slowly, things like that. Because the time frames also can impact budget, because obviously if you want something done more quickly, that's going to cost more.
Yeah, of course. And that's the thing too, I think, to like, do you feel authors are realistic about those costs and the times involved? Or because I know from conversations we've had that some of the authors will come to us with a book that they say has been edited. Of course, we've reviewed it and have found there's elements, but there is a completion edit that needs to be done that hasn't been fulfilled because of perhaps the initial investment of the editing proof was based on their budgets to start with. So they've bought one of the, as you say, they've bought a capacity to make the book satisfactory, and then we've got to bring it up to the next levels to do that comprehensive edit of all the missing elements. Do you feel that that impacts, the author's perception of reality in the process, because they are told it's edited and then they come? So
yeah, I think there can be a bit of a misconception about what editing is. And the different types of editing, because there's different levels of editing that takes place with a book. And so if an author says, I've hired an editor, my book is edited, yes, it may technically have been edited, but depending on the type of editing it was, there may still be a lot of work that hasn't been done because that didn't fit into the scope of whoever they're working with or the budget or the time frame at that time. So it may be that there's a lot left undone still. So that can be a factor. It also depends on the level of research that authors have done. Because self-publishing is getting a lot more popular, there is a lot of great information online. So some authors seem to be quite aware of the level of work and put good plans in place for getting the most the most benefit for their bang for their buck, as it were. Those are always really, it's very encouraging to work with authors who've done that groundwork, because it's really, you know, uncomfortable to explain to an author that unfortunately the book has been edited, but not to a standard that's publication ready necessarily.
And do you find that it's disappointing that the editing industry doesn't have a standard, that doesn't have a guide, that editors have a cost bracket, they have a known element, and realistically after that sort of, like, if you were to set a tiered locked price on, so basically there's no competition between editors, it's a matter then of the author just choosing the person they like and trust, as you said, or do you find that it becomes there is that quoting mechanism of editors against editors, and then of course the author chooses the cheaper one because it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, so the author's not as educated enough to identify what the skill sets they're paying for are anyway?
Yeah,
that's a bit of a confusion.
Yeah, it's a definite challenge and confusion. I'm a part of the Institute of Professional Editors as an associate member, which there's a Victorian chapter, but that's essentially a professional association which is trying to work through some of those challenges that you've identified, because with platforms like Upwork and Fiverr and things like that, there's a lot of editing services which authors can work with editors on these platforms for not much money. But unfortunately, what that can mean is that editors are in a race to the bottom in terms of quoting. And realistically, when you're not being paid very much, it's very difficult for quality work to be done a lot of the time, because either the editor's having to do it very quickly to make it worth their time, or the cost value is not reflective of perhaps they're able to charge that cheaply because they haven't done as much professional development, or they're earlier in their career, which doesn't mean necessarily edit will be terrible, but it may mean that you're getting what you pay for in that sense.
Yeah.
So there is a push across freelance editors through some of these associations to try and lift the standard a bit and make a bit more cohesion. So some of the IPED and the EFA, which is the Editorial Freelancers Association, I believe that's an American version, but they do have information for authors, which is about a general bracket of what you can expect in terms of pricing. But unfortunately, those resources are not always as front of place as we'd like them to be.
Yes, of course. Yeah, it is a challenge for authors. And I think that's where the model of coming to publishing houses who have, as you say earlier, the structures and the scenarios in place to put a very comprehensive element of editing into the book and consult very clearly on the elements at a set budget, help the authors really focus on that goal of getting a book at quality published. And the other thing too is, I think just to mention that the self-publishing market does it expedites a lot of people's perceptions of publishing. And I think we also have the conversations where authors will come to us and say, oh, I've got this fantastic book. Can I get it out by Christmas? And like Christmas is only 4 or 5 months away now. And that's just improbable from a logistics point of view alone. So to understand that the editing process does take that time, I think if the self-publishing market was to set a budget, set up a plan and say, okay, it's going to cost me $5,000 to edit my book. I don't have $5,000, but if they spoke to the editor, I'm sure there'd be a way to work it out and say, hey, I'll pay you $3,000 to get this initial part done. While the 6 months I save the other $2,000 while I'm writing and correcting that, I can come back onto that. And then I've got the book ready in 6 to 12 months and I can publish it at a much better way, a much better response. And I've also had time to plan my marketing. I think that element is what's missing in the self-publishing world.
Absolutely.
I think they're not educated enough to know that time is the best asset people can have in creation of a book.
I think that a lot of the, like, there's a lot of advantages to self-publishing, and one of the most attractive elements of it to an author is how quickly you can put your work out there in the world. But while that is a wonderful thing, I do think there are disadvantages to pushing something out really fast. As you say, a lot of editors will actually work with authors to do a payment plan where you can, which is something I offer to authors, where they can actually say, I say, this is what it'll cost, and then we can work out what they can afford, and that can set the timeline of when the book will be ready by, and that slower process. It's often still a lot quicker than traditional publishing. But I think, it's really balancing that impatience of having your book in the hands of readers with sort of tempering that with a bit of patience and to make sure that the product is of a better quality in the long run.
Absolutely. And I think with the flooded market and with the growing number of access to becoming an author, I think the biggest asset that they can have and gain is credibility. And I think that using your expertise and supports from other resources professionally to help them build that credibility even before the product is there in the market is a great asset and time well spent, not just money. So, I agree with you. And so from that perspective, Steph, tell us, what are your goals and your future plans on a personal note? What are you planning in the next kind of 3 years? What's your goals?
Yeah, so in terms of my goals, I'm actually hoping to formalize some of the, because I've done a number of short training and professional development, but I'm actually working toward doing a master's in publishing and writing sort of in the next 12 months, which will be really good. I'm looking forward to doing that. But I'm also actually working on my own fiction writing, and in the longer term, have a number of books that I'm, you know, trying to find the time to write. So in the longer term, I'd like to see those come to publication and reading. So we'll see.
Good. And you won't be editing your own work, I take it?
No. So in terms of, I'll be self-editing.
Do you think it's important you have an objectivity? I think that's
key. Absolutely. I think it's really practically impossible to see our own work objectively, the number of times you read over it as a writer. So while I'll be doing self-editing, I haven't quite decided how I'm going to publish those yet, but I will certainly be having a different set of eyes, professional eyes, over my work before it gets out there.
Good. And as you hear, everybody listening, Steph is a professional editor who also uses a professional editor. So there's a small, subtle recommendation in there. So Steph, it was lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for your time today. And thank you for everybody listening. And again, please support independent books, independent authors, and independent publishing, and professionals like Steph who do contribute to the industry and who really make an impact in bringing the best books possible to the market of readers. And that's all we want. Everybody listening, I hope, has the same goal, that we all want our books to be enjoyed and well-received when they come out. I thank you all for listening, and I ask you all to stay safe. And, Stephanie, thank you again.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody, stay safe, and we'll talk again on the next episode of Between the Covers. Thank you, everyone.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Between the Covers, produced by Shoreline Publishing.